Turn in your Bibles this evening to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want to preach briefly tonight on the topic, the thought, self-service or full service. Self-service or full service. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 13. Verse 13. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for the blessings that we've already received from the music. Lord, thank you for your blessings on us. And you have been good to us, as Brother Dole sang. And then, Kayla, tonight, we thank you that you did indeed come to us. You came to us before we came to you. So, Lord, I just pray now that you'll take every song that's been sung, and now especially the scriptures, and challenge our hearts tonight with both the privilege, the possibility, and the priority of full service for our Lord. Now, Father, speak to hearts tonight, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. The thought came to my mind as I was looking at this portion of Scripture, preparing myself for tonight's message, the thought of self-service or full service. Basically, tonight, as we stop and think about Christian service, I think you will agree with me that many times, many of us, myself included, we have a tendency sometimes to dictate to God the measure of our service. We basically sometimes, if we're not careful, it's almost like we draw up our plans and then ask God to sign them, instead of recognizing what the Scriptures tell us. Here in this passage of Scripture, it talks about serving the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Now let me be clear about something this evening. Many times when we think about Christian service, we think of only activity. We think of only activity. It is a fact that as we get older, we slow down. It's a fact that we don't run as fast as we used to. It is a fact that we are not as busy or not as able to be as busy due many times old father age catches up or other issues set in. But we just need to understand tonight that Christian service is not just a thing of activity, it's a thing of attitude. And let's understand also tonight that all God wants out of any of us is to do what we can by His grace. Just do what we can. In other words, we can't work with tools we don't have. We can't function with abilities that we don't have. But we are to take the gifts, the abilities that God's given us, and we're to faithfully give it to Him. Then when we reach a place in our life where we can't be very active, if we'll keep a tender heart towards the Lord, do what we can do, be faithful, serve God, I think the Lord is pleased in that. Self-service or full service. I remember when I was a teenager, I worked at a Sunoco gas station over in Madison Heights, Virginia. That was back in the days when everything was full service. You pull into a gas station and you could expect the attendant to do it all. He'd fill you, gas you up. He'd check your oil. He'd clean your windshield. And he'd even check your tire pressure from time to time. In other words, full service. That's what it was. In fact, there are places in this country where it's still full service. Not in our area. It's mostly self-service. But in some areas, there's still full service. But I thought about that. I remembered when I worked at that service station, when a car would pull in, I had a responsibility to do more than just simply gas the guy up, but I had to go a little bit beyond the call of duty and lift up the hood, check the oil, and do all those other things. That's what you call full service. Now let's bring that to bear with what we're talking about tonight. Full service or self-service. Now mostly, most of us, if we're not careful, we get sidetracked and don't understand that when God saved us, He claimed ownership of our lives. Amen. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We've been purchased by the blood. We really do not have the right any longer to dictate to God what we will or will not do. I mean, after all, we're indentured slaves. We've been marked. You know, by the way, in the Old Testament, or actually even in the days of the New Testament, as far as we think of the Roman Empire, slaves were literally indentured, or they were marked. A maul was the drill a mark through their ear. And it would represent ownership. It's just like years ago back in the cattle days and out west. We know that cattle were branded, which would bear the identifying mark of the ranch or the ownership. They were branded. Well, look at it like this. We've been branded. We've been marked. We belong to the Lord tonight. And again, it's not necessarily the thing of activity as it is keeping a good attitude, a good heart. Just do what we can do. We can't do, again, what I hate to be repetitious, but we can't operate with provisions we don't have. But let's take our abilities, our gifts, and what God has given us, and let's just be faithful to give them back to the Lord, that God would be pleased. And I believe that's all that the Lord expects of us. Now, many want to be in total control and to decide for themselves the extent of serving God. And that's not good. Now, I think of 1 Corinthians 15, and maybe you'd like to turn there for just a moment, and let's notice that wonderful portion of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I really do not believe the best place to begin as we talk about serving the Lord is with verse 58 itself, though that's where we're going to land. I believe we need to back up a little ways and start reading a little bit before that. Well, look at verse number 55. Verse number 55. The Bible says in verse 55, O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The question is asked, death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? We know if death could answer tonight, death would have to say, I ain't got it. I don't have a sting. I don't have a victory. Because Jesus secured the victory. His resurrection took care of it, you see. But now look at verse 15. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. You see, Jesus secured victory by virtue of His finished work, including His resurrection, and that victory has been passed on to God's people. He says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we come to that precious verse, therefore. Always check it out to find out what it's there for. Word therefore is a connecting link. Tied in with what's been said previously. Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. That victory has been passed on to us, enabling us this evening to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've been given provisions because of our risen Lord and our association with Him. We've been given a victory. We've been given provisions to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. God gave us what we need in order to do it. All right, but look at the verse. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to note something. There is no age stipulation placed on that verse. It doesn't say if you are of certain age. It doesn't say it's null and void if you go beyond a certain age. No, it doesn't. That applies to all Christians. God knows tonight every one of us where we are. He knows tonight our age, our limitations, our abilities. But that still does not render null and void that verse. We still are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And yes, as I said earlier, we may not be able to do physically and with activity what maybe we used to. But that's not the point. God knows where we are. Keep a good servant's heart. Keep loving the Lord. Do what you can do. Pray for people. By the way, there's such a thing as a ministry of presence, a ministry of prayer, and that goes a long ways. You know what? It always encourages me when I just see people come to church, period. I'm happy. Because you see, it's encouraging when people come to church. The ministry of presence. You've heard that old worn out illustration. I don't know if I'll get it right. It must not, my brain must have worn out trying to repeat it. But something to do with this guy, he had trouble seeing or whatever. And someone one time questioned him as to why he even came to church. Couldn't really get involved a lot. About all he could do is show up. And his answer was, I just want people to know whose side I'm on. You know, basically that. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. I've never had a whole lot of use for the Woods family. Have you? Oh, I hope there's no Woods in here tonight. Empty pews. But it encourages us all when people just come to church. I wish more people would get that vision. The ministry of presence. You may not be able to run up and down the road passing out tracts and driving like you used to, but I'll tell you one thing. Every time this preacher enters this pulpit and I have any degree of liberty, I know that God's people have been praying for me. And I'll tell you, I don't put a cheap commodity on that. The ministry of prayer. But the verse says, look at it, serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You know, full service. Not half service, not self-service, but full service. What does it do? Well, it balances the life. As we're busy serving God, it balances our life. Happy people in a church are people that are doing the best they can for God's glory. Are not sitting idly by, but are engaged doing something for the Lord. In other words, they look at themselves, they evaluate what God's given them to do, and they plug their talents and abilities into the ministry of the Lord. By the way, it's all about God's glory and edification of the church. That's why we do what we do. God's glory first, and the edification of the church. We're here for each other. And if we would only keep that in mind. Now, did you know this? Every title given to the Christian requires full commitment in service. Every title. You want an example? What about this? We're a soldier. You want another example? We're a wrestler. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You want another example? We're a runner. Run the race set before us. What about another example? We're a workman. Workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want another example? What about this? An ambassador. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, look at those roles, those titles, those hats that we wear. Imagine those positions not including activity of some sort. For example, imagine an off and on soldier. Let's pull a military illustration here. Imagine a soldier who's off and on. Someone that said, well, I appreciate Uncle Sam giving me a paycheck, but I'll decide when I'll march. I'll decide when I'll fight. I'll decide when I'll go to war. Or I'll decide when I salute the officer. Imagine how long that person would survive in the military. You'd be out on your ears before you know it. You see, the military doesn't have room for off and on soldiers. We're soldiers of Christ, my friend. We're soldiers of the cross. And in the Christian realm of service, we cannot be off and on. That's the word soldier itself. The name implies a whole lot. What about an undisciplined wrestler? How long would a wrestler survive if they were undisciplined? If they didn't work out? If they didn't prepare for the match? If they didn't work up, get ready? Well, they'd be a knockout casualty the first round, wouldn't they? Then what about this? What about a sluggish runner? We're a runner. What about it? Can you imagine a sluggish runner? Could you imagine someone that's really wanting to get serious about running and just defying all diets? Not running? Not staying in shape? Especially if you get down to a serious run, to where it's a competition thing, why, it wouldn't match, would it? It requires a whole lot. We run. We're in the race. We're to stay disciplined. We're to keep at it. Every title God gives us implies activity and attitude. Then, what about an ambassador? What about a lazy workman? We're a workman. We can't be lazy. What about an ambassador? We're going to have to be honest. To represent the king and the country, we have to be honest. Imagine our sending an ambassador to a foreign shore and that ambassador not accurately representing the president and the country. You see, when God saved us, He invested us with responsibility. We must always remember we're not our own. We forfeited all personal rights. No wonder the Bible says, serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. It's to be full service. All our heart, all our soul. Coming back again to the illustration of the army. Now look at it like this too. In the army, you have the officer corps. You have the enlisted branch. You have responsibilities delegated. You have leadership roles. Subordination's a key thing. In other words, if you had nothing but an officer corps, the army wouldn't get much done. You've got to have the NCOs, don't you? When I look at this, could you imagine an army of the Lord where everybody is generals or officers? I heard of an illustration one time of two little boys, or a bunch of little boys got together and they were playing war. Somebody standing on the sideline noticed that's the quietest war game they ever heard. They never heard the little boys do much. They were real quiet about how they played war. And someone walked up to them and said, young man, why are you so quiet? Little boy said, because we're all generals. And I think you get the point. In other words, in a church, we've got delegated responsibility. We've got positions to fill. We're not a bunch of big shots. We're a bunch of little shots shooting together, as we've said many times. And using the military illustration, every one of us is to do our part. That keeps the machinery oiled. You see, it's a shame. But most churches, it seems like 10% of the people many times do 90% of the work. It shouldn't be that way. Every one of you tonight in this building, if you've zeroed in on the ability and the gift and the talent that God's given you, give it back to Him. It's for His glory and it's for the edification and the blessing of the church. It takes a responsibility off of other people too. When everybody does their job, it doesn't overwork certain people if everybody pitches in and does their work. Full service is a right thing because that's what the Bible teaches. Full service is a reasonable thing in light of the fact of ownership of the Christian by the Lord. Full service is rewarding both now and eternity. Full service is a decent thing on our part because of His abundant blessings, like Brother Dole sang about. It's the decent thing to do. God has blessed us. We ought to be willing, in turn, to give Him our best. Full service. If every Christian here would do their faithful part, the burden of responsibility would evenly be balanced among us all. When some drop the ball, we all are put in a pinch. So, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and that applies to every child of God. Let me hurry and mention this thought. Notice the equipment for full service. The equipment. We'll talk about that for just a few moments. God never expects us to do anything but what He doesn't give us the ability and the gifts and the talents to make it happen. God doesn't expect out of us what we don't have, what He hasn't given. He gives us equipment. Equipment. Equipment to do the work. We're all equipped with talents and abilities to enhance our service for the Lord. What He gives us, He expects us to use for His service. It's for His glory, and again, it's the benefit of the church. You know, I really appreciate folks that realize this truth. He's given us abilities for His glory and the benefit of the church, and I appreciate people that know that. Thank God, people in this church know that. In other words, hey, will you get up and sing from the heart? You do what you do for the glory of God. But you see, we need to always be reminded of that, though. I thank God for people who don't market their gift. Who don't market it. But rather use Him humbly to honor God and to be a blessing to the church. It's about that, isn't it? Glorifying the Lord, edifying the church, not marketing our gift. What I'm simply saying is this, if we can be a blessing to our church, we ought to do that. It's just like, you know, I love to read about old Balaam and the donkey, the jack. Well, let's call it a jackass, pardon me, it's what it's called. And, you know, it's amazing to me in that account of Scripture that the Lord used that dumb animal to get Balaam's attention. Balaam was marketing his gift. In other words, Balak wanted to hire him to curse Israel. And he got into trouble because he was going to market his gift. But somebody said it was an amazing thing when that jackass spoke to Balaam, but it was more amazing that Balaam answered. And you think about that. That's just like on TV. You know, you see all these commercials, and I get tickled watching it sometimes. All these commercials with these talking animals. And everybody assumes that animals talk. No one looks confused, or no one looks shocked. When birds talk, when dogs talk, when cats talk. I mean, on TV, they got every animal talking. No one seems surprised by it. I must have been born too late or something, but I come up in a time where animals didn't do a whole lot of talking. And what's bad is when people start answering those animals. Now, don't ask me tonight how this ties in with my message. It doesn't really. But I appreciate people that have pretty well figured out what talents and abilities and gifts God's given them, and they just give it back to the Lord. And say, I want to be a blessing to the church. And I'll tell you something else tonight. I appreciate people who aren't like a hen laying an egg. They cackle to make it known that an egg's just been laid. some people cackle to make it known they've laid an egg, so to speak. Here's my point. Do what you do for the glory of God and don't worry about what people think. Just love the Lord. Serve the Lord with your whole heart, with your whole soul. I mean, we're not in the celebrity turning out business here. We just believe in loving and serving the Lord and just be thankful to God if He's blessed you with abilities and don't hide them under a basket. Just serve the Lord and honor Him with them. Then notice something else. Got to hurry here. We see the equipment for service. Then we see the employment of full service. Full service is to be willingly rendered, for we should not have to have our arms twisted to serve the Lord, should we? We should not have to put anybody on a guilt trip to serve God. Full service is to be gratefully offered. We love Him and serve Him because He loved us first. Full service is focused on the person of Christ and constrained by the love of Christ. That's why we do what we do. And then, and oh, by the way, one good verse to think about here tonight. What did Jesus tell John? He said, "Feed my sheep." What do you think about that tonight? Is it just the pastor's responsibility to feed the sheep? Yes or no? Okay, so to a certain degree then, do you agree with me tonight that all of us that are saved ought to be feeding each other? Well, let me qualify what I'm saying there. Not everybody's called to be preachers or to teach. We understand that. But you know, this thing of feeding is not just what comes from this pulpit, though. What about encouragement, praying for, counseling, one-on-one? In other words, we are to be in the sheep feeding business. We're sheep ourselves. But our ministries, what we do, our music, choir, ushering, deacon board, nursery working workers, children's church workers, everything we do, we're focused on still feeding sheep, edifying one another. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Here's where the rub comes in. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get more concerned with ourselves than people. We get self-centered. We let our ego get in the picture. We're thinking about what I want to do. No, my friend. God has placed every one of us in this church, including this preacher. It's not about me. It's about you. And every Christian ought to have that. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about others. Full service will get that job done. Full service. Then I'm done with this. The enjoyment of full service. The enjoyment of it. Happy Christians are those that love the Lord, giving themselves to Him, and are serving Him with their heart. That's a happy Christian for you. People that are busy for the Lord, that are not sitting in the shadows, but are serving God, that's a happy person. A key to happiness tonight in the Smith Grove Baptist Church is find some way that God can use you and get busy and give back your abilities and your gifts for God's glory in this church, and your life will brighten up. That's the way it works. Let's pray. Our